Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You owe us the game yeah. with the 69th president in it.
What? Hello and welcome to the Lore Boys. It's time to do lore and chew ass. We're all out of ass. My name is James Miller, and I'm joined with...
My name's Ethan Palmer. Bad news, Chief. We're also out of lore.
What do we do now?
Hey. I don't know, vamp for an hour?
Yeah, my name's Peter O'Donohue. So we're out of lore and ass. What about the gum situation?
Oh, yeah. I guess we could do gum or whatever you say.
Yeah.
Chew ass. If you guys couldn't guess already by the title, the art, and that silly little introduction, we are doing Duke Nukem today.
To be fair, we could also have been doing They Live, the movie that line is actually from.
Yes. You're right. That's one of the references. Right. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Later on, we're going to talk about some of the quotes from Duke Nukem 3D versus Duke Nukem Forever.
And Duke Nukem.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, this is great. We're a minute in, and I'm already stumbling over my words. So, so do you guys know who created Duke Nukem way back when?
Like a person or the company? Because I'm fairly confident on the company.
Company.
It's 3D Realms, right?
It is now 3D Realms, but they used to be called Apogee.
Okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah, 3D sure. Realms. Yeah. You know, would know that because they made Prey as well, right?
They made the old Prey. I think the new Prey was Arcane.
Okay.
Yeah. Methinks.
I didn't look into it. I just saw Prey as one of their games. I was like, oh, Pete'll know this one for sure.
As far as I know, like a lot of those old shooters are all very much like, because a lot of shooters are from like the 80s and 90s, like none of these people have died. So they just like leave studios and bounce around and just all make games together, right? Like
exactly. If you guys listen to
Prey, Prey 2006 was made by Human Head Studios, 3D Realms, Venom Games, and Aspyr.
Nice.
But wow. 3D Realms isn't there.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah, all these companies are kind of tied into id, like back then, like Doom and Quake and Duke Nukem, and all these boomer shooters are kind of related in one way or another.
Doom Nuke Quake'em, huh?
Yeah, I think if we did Quake, we'd pretty much have covered all of the major boomer shooters. We even did Heretic and Hexen.
We have to do Wolfenstein. That's the OG boomer shooter.
Right. Duke Nukem and Wolfenstein are related, although I don't really touch on Wolfenstein much in this episode.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Have we never done a Wolfenstein episode? See, no. I couldn't remember that we did. I was just in the Discord today. I couldn't remember that we did do a Godzilla episode. Yeah. Somebody said that. I was like, what are you talking about? We didn't do Godzilla. Yeah. I had to Google it myself. But I somehow have a memory of Wolfenstein. Maybe it was in Doom we talked about Wolfenstein a bit, about how the guy is probably the descendant of... What is it? Not Chip's Challenge, whatever the original.
Commander Keen,
yeah, or whatever, how they were all tied in kind of canonically. Maybe that's what I'm thinking of with Wolfenstein.
Yeah.
Yeah. BJ Blazkowicz is a direct descendant. He's the great great grandson of Cool Spot, the 7-Up Spot from Cool Spot.
Yeah, from the 7-Up video game, Cool Spot.
So in this world, if you haven't ever met Duke Nukem, he's like a cultural icon. He's meant to be the American hero. He saved the world multiple times from like pig cops, evil robots, and even ancient aliens.
Wow. Okay. And so, sorry, this is at the start of the game. He's already done all these things?
No, this is just like, well, he will get to him doing it, but he definitely will do all these things. We don't know much about him before the start of the games.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were saying like he was like at the start of the game, you're playing like well-established world-saving hero Duke Nukem.
If you started at Duke Nukem Forever, yes. But before Duke Nukem 1, no. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, Forever is forever. So it's at every point in the timeline. So.
Right.
No matter where you started, it's forever, right?
Just like their development cycle, it was at every point in the timeline.
You gotta close the loop, Duke, and then shoots himself in the back of the head, and then the game just restarts.
So the people who made Duke Nukem based him off every cheesy action star that they could think of. I think the first game was 91, so like all these like 80s stars like Schwarzenegger, Stallone, Jean-Claude Van Damme, I think would even be in there. Maybe even Steven Seagal.
He looks like Dolph Lundgren.
Dolph Lundgren, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, we're supposed to be in on the joke that he's over the top. Like, he's tongue-in-cheek being all these things. Like, they kind of lose the thread by the time they get to Duke Nukem Forever, and he just is, like, an over-the-top asshole. But up until this point, he's kind of, like, making fun of American culture and stuff like that.
Satirizing, if you will.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Duke Nukem has only ever been seen in top physical condition.
So. there's no picture like the one of Vin Diesel like on his balcony smoking a cigarette where he's just like completely let himself go between Fast movies.
Yeah. Between Fast movies. Why does he even need to be in top physical condition to drive a car anyways?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a great question.
Yeah. I mean, he's got his shifting arm, right?
They're muscle cars.
Right. Oh, that's how he stays in shape.
You got steering wheel cars that are operated by steering wheels. You got muscle cars.
Yeah. Operated by muscles. Yeah. You have feet cars, also known as Fred Flintstones.
Yeah.
Which are operated by feet, of course.
That's for that's for the Cardi Bros, though. That's not for the juice heads like Vin Diesel, obviously.
Exactly. Yeah. The the feet cars are very popular online.
Yes.
Sign up to our Patreon.
Yeah. This podcast powered by feet.
Well, that's great because my next sentence is his height is 6 feet and 4 inches.
Very good.
Big fella.
But not too tall. That's the perfect height.
Really. Yeah. If you guys were wondering about the conversion, it's 0.0213 American football fields.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Or 190-ish centimeters, I guess.
Okay. I don't know what those are.
I want to keep your commie metric system out of here, Ethan.
sorry guys. Oh yeah, we're talking Duke Nukem. None of that commie centimeters out of here.
He can bench 600 pounds.
Damn, dude.
Which
that's really good
in football fields. I looked it up.
Oh Christ!
And football field. They did the math on Reddit, and with all the soil, the grass, the posts, and everything. It weighs about 2,091,000 pounds.
Okay.
So he can bench 0.00028682909 football fields. Not a lot in the football field world, but he's strong enough to kick some ass in the games.
He is stronger. He can bench more than I can. So at time of recording,
I'd be if anyone can bench over 600 pounds. Who's listening to this? Please let us know. Because I would love to have just one of us that are that crazy strong.
Oh, dude. Somebody could bench all three of us.
It's true.
Duke Nukem could bench all three of us.
Yeah. Yep. You'd have to tie us together.
No, we
can. Or maybe put us all in one big sleeping bag. And then we'd have to be like perfectly rigid. And then you could just like.
What about like
one clean and press of all three lore boys?
What about like a really tight hammock that we could all squeeze in and we just like reside between his face and the bar?
Oh, yeah. if our heads were poking out and we wouldn't suffocate, one of those like airtight vacuum sealed like linen bags.
Right.
Okay. Yeah.
Right.
Yep. So,
but I mean, the operative word being if we wouldn't suffocate, but vacuum sealed does kind of imply.
I mean, if you had like a good seal around the neck and then just vacuumed out all the air, you could get us in there like some decent jerky.
I'm sure this is somebody's fetish. this has got to be right. Like.
Yeah.
Vacuum sealed corpses.
If you're about to be vacuum sealed, you probably want to take a big breath and hold it until the mechanism's over, so you still have room to like move your chest when it's all done. Because if you breathe out while you're being vacuum sealed, you won't be able to like bring it back in, you know. Oh.
This is the same defense against an anaconda, Jamie. I mean,
I worked at a at like a warehouse once where they had those like big machines that wrap in circles all the cellophane around the boxes and stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I one day on my break was just watching it, wondering if I was in there, what would be the best chance to survive? But I probably wouldn't. I'd probably just die.
Yeah, I fucked around with the. I used to call it the mummy machine. We fucked around with it a lot. Yeah.
Usually fights against heavy machinery don't go the way of the squishy human.
Right.
No.
Right.
I remember when we used to work in the forest, either you or your brother Ethan was in the bobcat like pretending to fight Andrew, and Andrew's like trying to like punch away like a machine that works with hydraulics,
and so, I did knock him on his ass with that bobcat.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Like none of us have ended up on Live Leak, and I don't know how.
Yeah, so even though he can only bench 0.0002 of a football field, it's still 600 pounds, so he can kick some serious ass in the games. And where strength may fail, he always has marksmanship and demolition abilities.
Thankfully, he always has a gun.
Yep. Yep. He is American.
Always chromed up.
Yep. He has like an unmatched proficiency with firearms, explosives, anything from pistols to rocket launchers. Shrink rays, alien technology.
Shrink rays.
Yep.
Because his massive hog, sometimes he's got to shrink it down, right? So he's gotten pretty good at using it.
He has
the man's so alpha, he needs the opposite of a penis pump. Like,
wait, I have a quote.
Have like a silencer on the end of it.
I have the wiki up with all of the quotes that he said in game, and I remembered one that based on what you just said. He says, "Size only matters when you're full grown, baby." Whatever that.
Okay.
Is.
Yeah.
That's good. That is a good shrink ray comeback. I think.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. It's George Costanza when he's screaming, "I was in the pool," but it's, "I had a shrink ray! I had a shrink ray!"
It's George Costanza with the Duke Nukem hair. Very good image. Write that down.
With his shirt off, just standing in a room, kind of shaking his hands at his side.
Yep. In terms of like personality, Duke Nukem's confidence is probably his strongest trait. He's able to like perform inhuman feats of strength through just willpower and aggression. So if there's something in his way, he'll just knock it down kind of thing.
He's the orcs from 40K.
Yep.
Yeah.
He is. He loves to crack jokes. There's a lot of jokes, like especially in Duke Nukem 3D. This is like in the era of like Doom and Quake and things like that, where we have like silent protagonists. Duke Nukem is very much leans into not being silent, and it actually adds to the game rather than taking away from it. In that era, I'd say not so much in Forever.
Yeah, he's mouthy.
Yeah, he loves to crack jokes and speak out when something comes to mind. Honestly, if you go back and play these games now, they're probably a little problematic, especially Forever in 2011 when it came out. It's just like missed the mark so much. But even like the 1997 version, you probably wouldn't write things the way you did, because there's like a lot of the way he speaks to women and sex workers and stuff like that.
But. Yeah, he is a notorious fan of strippers in that pixel art.
Yeah, I think in 3D you can actually give money to the dancers and they'll flash you pixelated boobs.
Yeah, they have little tassels on them.
Oh,
well, yeah.
Someone remembered.
They just have pasties. Yeah.
What?
My sexual awakening.
Liking strippers is canceled now? Come on.
Yeah,
come on. Liking strippers isn't good anymore? Come on.
The Hooters and on Crescent Street fucking closed, and now this, Jamie? God damn it.
Yeah.
I think like the first year we did the podcast, your birthday was at the Hooters.
Yeah, we've definitely talked about that on the show, but as an update, my sister and my girlfriend, neither of which are ample of bosom, were just like, what if we applied for work at Hooters? It'll only take a second because we don't have tits. Ha 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 ha. And I was like, all right, whatever. Turns out they had a surprise party for me there the whole time, and that's how they convinced me to go inside.
Lure Pete in with the boobs. It works every time.
My sister has a t-shirt that just says, I don't have tits on it. It's fucking hilarious.
It's a men's t-shirt.
Not for Duke Nukem, though, because he's got those big pecs.
Oh, sure, yeah, dude.
For sure you'd never fit into that t-shirt.
Yeah, so he also, big thing about Duke Nukem is he doesn't pay any attention to his haters. He knows that his actions speak for themselves, and he has, like, a ton of confidence, so he's not going to listen to you if you're just talking down to him.
Speaking of men's shirts, mine that I'm wearing right now says, don't read the comments. So he and I are two peas in a pod, I think.
Oh, yeah. When I look at you, Pete, and wearing that t-shirt, busting it out, if you will, I definitely think Duke Nukem. That guy, not for the physique, but for all the, you know, problematic comments, really.
Yes, yeah. The sexism, mostly.
Yeah, yeah. The fact that you cried whenever you found out that strippers were canceled.
And we didn't get to vote, too.
Yeah.
Ah! I'll bring it up.
You were crying so much, and then we were outside, and it was cold, and then you were complaining about the snowflakes, and I was trying to tell you that your tears were turning into snowflakes, and you were crying more because you realized you were just creating more of the snowflakes. And,
right, yeah. Right.
Damn.
I can't believe women get to vote.
Duke Nukem also kind of has some parallels with the last president of the United States in certain ways.
Okay, yeah.
Depends on when you're listening to this. We're talking about 45.
Yeah.
I'm glad you know which one it is, because it comes up later that the number of presidents in the Duke Nukem world... And I had to look up which one we're on. We're on 46 right now.
Yeah, we are. Yeah. Well, I only know this because we did Metal Wolf Chaos, and that guy was 47, and I made all that alternate president history.
Yeah. Right. Right.
Right.
Yeah. So keep that in mind. It'll come up as we go on. You won't see all the evidence for him being like a president now, but it definitely my case will build as time goes.
Yeah, I know. I can't. The Alpha Chad protagonist would not be too much like Joe Biden, confused and lost all the time. That's not the most inspiring protagonist of a video game.
Yeah, you pick up the blue key card, but somehow you've lost it by the time you get to the door.
Yeah.
Listen here, Jack. You're going to open up this door.
So Duke Nukem has a signature style too. So he always has his sunglasses, red tank top, blue jeans. Sometimes, depending on which game, he has a black combat harness that has like utility pouches for guns, explosives, all that fun stuff.
Grenades. Yeah.
Rigs and rubbers, bro. That's it. Yeah. That's all I go into combat with.
Couple MGD lights. Hell yeah.
His hairstyle is platinum blonde, military cut. And he's rarely seen without his favorite sidearm, a gold-plated M1911, marked with Duke's symbol, the Nuke logo. Not to be confused with the Nike logo.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know what the Nuke logo actually looks like. Is it maybe like it looks like an explosion or it's like a bomb?
No, the atomic symbol is like those, or like the radiation hazard symbol. It's like the dot in the middle with like the three kind of like pie slices,
flower petals,
Trivial Pursuit, with the points cut off so they don't intersect with the dot, and then like the yellow circle.
Good job.
Yeah, that's what I was picturing, but calling it the Nuke symbols was I had to think about it. I was like, what is he talking?
Yeah.
I said probably that.
That was really good, Pete. It's like you've had practice describing stuff through an audio medium when we can't look at pictures before.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we don't know much about his early life, so feel free to lore boys canonize anything we want to for his childhood as we go on, because who's going to stop us? Randy Pitchford? I don't think so, man.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah. Yeah. Guys, what if he does, though? What if Duke Nukem's finally the episode that cancels us? All those snowflakes that Pete created with his stripper tears, his tears over strippers.
Talking about strippers.
All we know from before the games is that Duke served in the U.S. Army under General Graves. Graves ends up like saving him at the final moment in Duke Nukem Forever, which we won't talk about today.
Okay.
And was stationed in Beirut. And that's where he became friends with Dylan, one of his best friends that comes in and out of the games that we won't talk much about. But for those who play the games, you probably know him. He met before all of the games.
Okay. Oh, Duke and Dylan.
Beirut. What?
Well, I said Duke and Dylan, double D's.
Yeah.
Right?
That's true. Yeah. You're asking why he's stationed in Beirut?
Yeah.
I don't know. All we know is that he was there with General Graves and that he left the army to work for the CIA at one point.
Okay. Why not be stationed in Beirut is my question for you.
I don't know if we've ever had a war there.
Okay. You say we, like we're the United States of America.
Oh, okay. And, that's true. The West, TM, is more what I meant.
You know, like, stationed in doesn't mean actively at war with. Like,
I can't. Yeah.
Like, Canada had a bunch of troops stationed in Latvia for the past 4 years. We're not at war with potatoes. You know?
Duke Nukem doesn't seem like the type of guy just to be stationed somewhere and not take action, too, though. I wonder if Laura on Beirut next week. While Ethan pulls up the clip, I'll start with Duke Nukem 1. So this is 1991. This is when we were all just babies, like barely born. There was a fun fact about this game, actually. When they first released it, they couldn't call it Duke Nukem. Because okay. There was an animated TV show called Captain Planet and the Planeteers.
Sure, I am familiar with Captain Planet, but yeah. I don't yet get the link. Captain Planet is Lebanese, and he was the ambassador, the U.S. ambassador in Beirut at the time.
Oh, that makes sense. There we go. Yeah.
Put a big block on it, big X. No, this is Lebanese-U.S. relations will suffer tremendously from you guys saying that Duke Nukem was ever stationed here.
Yeah. George H.W. Bush is just like, no, we can't risk it. Don't release Duke Nukem.
So there's already a character named Duke Nukem in this show, Captain Planet and the Planeteers, and it was a bad guy. He was like had yellow skin, and he was a cautionary tale against the nuclear power.
Okay.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. This is like the early 90s, so they're trying.
Yeah,
to...
I've never seen Captain Planet, but I know the kids are all identical to the kids from the Magic School Bus, making the Magic School Bus like a prequel.
Okay. Yeah.
So I'm looking at a picture of this guy now. He kind of looks like the Thing from the Fantastic Four, but he's wearing a Hawaiian shirt and he's got a mohawk, a red mohawk. Otherwise, very similar to the Thing, who's kind of like rock, made up of like blocks of rock or clay.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a villain in that show. They were kind of worried at Apogee. They're like, yeah, well, if we release this game with the same name as this villain, then maybe we're going to get sued. And this is like our first game. We're not going to take that chance. So they released the game temporarily. And they just, instead of Duke Nukem, they called it Duke Nukem. They just changed it, the E to the U. And once they figured out there wasn't a copyright on the name yet, they like promptly switched it back. So if you have like an original Duke Nukem, then that's pretty cool. They're out there somewhere.
I mean, Saucy, put them on the board, by the way.
I knew Saucy was counting, but I couldn't help but share this information.
That's funny.
For anyone unfamiliar.
That would be a great name for him to move into sex work as a new person on the scene too, right?
Yeah.
He's Duke Nukem. Yeah.
Nukem, and then the nickname is, or the title is On the Block. Nukem on the Block. Lore Boys boy band name.
Yep. Pretty cool. Yeah. All right, Saucy. And that's all you get for the next like 10 episodes.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
You can't hold it in that much, man. It's not healthy.
Duke Nukem is a side-scrolling shooter. So it is like Commander Keen if you've ever played it way back when. It wasn't an FPS when it first started in 91. It's like a platformer. You have like a little rocket launcher and you shoot at stuff. The game's released in 91, but takes place in the future world of 1997.
Oh no.
Okay. Yeah. The distant future, the year 2000.
Yeah. And the main bad guy used to be a scientist named Blunderwitz.
Very flattering name.
Yeah. I wonder if.
Great name, though.
What's the name of the Wolfenstein guy?
Blazkowicz.
Blazkowicz.
This one's the Blunderwitz. Maybe it's like making fun of Blazkowicz.
Yeah, it's
The protagonist or the antagonist? The antagonist is pretty easy. It's just Hitler.
No, yeah.
Adolf Blazkowicz Hitler.
So this Blunderwitz, he messed around with radiation a little too much. Now he can be described as the radiation lobotomized madman who wants to take over the world by the name of Dr. Proton.
And Dr. Proton.
Yeah, he's like shown off in like a cutscene in 1991. A cutscene is just like a pixelated picture of Dr. Proton with like letters next to him reading what he said kind of thing.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I think he has like a red face with like a metal plate on it or something. I'm not looking directly.
He does have a red face with a metal plate, and he seems to be wearing like medieval chainmail and like medieval plate shoulder guards. Very odd choice. I will say Duke Nukem in the original as well. Very like completely red skin and like a pink vest with a white t-shirt underneath.
That was the only version of the game where he had a pink shirt instead of a red one.
Yeah,
it's quite an old game. I don't know if you guys have any experience with it. I played a lot of Duke Nukem 2. I think my mom got it for us somehow because it was just on our family computer. It was probably shareware. Like,
oh yeah,
I know that's what they operated
what?
On.
What?
I played. I've played Duke Nukem 3D, like the first 3D one, because I was on my neighbor's PC, and then like for shits and giggles, rented Duke Nukem Forever at Blockbuster after its millennia of troubled development.
Right.
Yeah, I've played Duke Nukem 3D, which I think I probably rented from the local video zone.
Cool. Yeah, and shareware, do you guys remember what shareware is? It comes up every time we talk about these old boomer shooters.
Yeah, it's like the first chunk of a game is free and it's just on a floppy disk or whatever, and then the company will mail it to you, and then if you like it, you can pay them and whatever, they'll mail you the rest. You email them your cereal box tops or some shit.
Exactly. I was thinking the same thing. It's just you get the first level or the first two levels, you get addicted, you mail in your money, they send you the rest of the game. And it was actually really successful. That was like a great way because especially in 1991, if you had a computer, you were like kind of one of the first people to have a computer. So if you show that what the game can do and then people give you the money rather than like people probably didn't have the best idea of what could happen on their home computer. And they probably wouldn't throw their money at it first until they could see.
I'm also sure I'm sure computers in 1991 cost like $200, but adjusted for inflation, that's probably like $3,000 or something.
Yeah.
So they're probably like relatively much more expensive. And I guess 91, you're still like inputting things in DOS, right? Because Windows 95 isn't a thing yet. So it's a lot of work and a lot of investment if you want to if you have no idea what a game is about. There's no games journalism yet. There's no YouTube with the demo. So it's just like... Yeah, you're taking a shot in the dark, and here's another $90 to take a chance on something. I don't know. Yeah,
exactly. It was Scott Miller, I believe his name was, who worked at this company, and he's the one who
actually... Of Miller Genuine Draft. Damn. What? Of Miller Genuine Draft. That's why Duke Nukem drinks it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's like, I think he's the guy who founded shareware. This is why they had so much money to dump into like 15 years of developing a game that was bad. Because they made a lot of money in the early 90s. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Did the smart thing, which was invest it properly and not in something stupid like crypto or whatever. And then they actually managed to like pull it off in the end.
I just spent $300 million on a GIF of Lola Bunny. I'm going to be rich, I'm telling you, in the metaverse.
Lola Bunny farting into her basketball shorts. It's like $300,000.
Okay, on to some other evil. Dr. Proton, he's using his army of tech bots. They're advanced mechanized killing machines designed for the singular goal of annihilation. I had an aneurysm there. Yeah, so this first target to take over the world, Dr. Proton, was... to target Earth's largest city. I looked up what this would be in either 1991 or 1997. It's based in 1997, like Mumbai? But written in 1991. Not Mumbai.
Is it in India?
No.
Is it in China?
No.
Is it Los Angeles?
It's based on population. Based on population, if that helps.
That's why I was guessing, because they're the most populous countries on Earth. Is it LA? Yeah, I guess. Is Ethan's guess?
Tokyo, Japan. And I think Tokyo, Japan is, by population, the biggest city in the
world. Could
be. Yeah. I looked it up today. And Tokyo, like New York was right up there, right before Tokyo, I think until like the 60s, 70s. And then Tokyo surpassed and I think is now still the biggest city in game.
Just took off.
It's called.
Yeah. So Tokyo is.
Yeah.
As of 2018. Then it's Delhi in India, Shanghai in China, Sao Paulo in Brazil, Mexico City in Mexico, Cairo in Egypt, which is a surprising one.
Yeah.
Mumbai, Beijing, Dhaka, Osaka, Japan, and then New York at number 11. Only 18 million in New York, or 18.8 million.
Huh. 18.8 million in New York City. These are living in Canada with 37 million people.
Yeah. Yeah. So the city in the game is actually called Shrapnel City, but it seems to be based on Earth. So it could be that Tokyo, after being bombarded by a bunch of evil robots and American government fighting back, it turned into Shrapnel City.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. All those shurikens that they leave just lying around, you know. So you set off a couple explosions in there and yeah. You're going to earn a nickname like Shrapnel City.
One thing leads to another, yeah.
like that's like unsupervised barrels of nails all over the place. It's like, oh, we should have known.
The U.S. military was doing its best to fight off the Technobots, but they failed at just about every turn. So as a final resort, the CIA hires Duke Nukem to stop Dr. Proton's plans.
I really wish that's how the actual military worked.
You there, tall guy with a good bench press. You want to come work for the CIA, kid? We'll have you top in Venezuelan governments in no time.
Do you want to get out of Beirut and into the action?
We'll get you there, guys. Yeah. I'm sick of Beirut. We're not even at war with this country.
So there's three episodes in the first game. You probably got the first one, Shrapnel City, as the freeware or the shareware. And then you're in the devastated city. You blast your way through the streets with all the bots. Then the next two is the mission Moonbase. So you follow Dr. Proton to his high security Moonbase, where all the Technobots are created and experiments carried out. And then the third and final chapter, Dr. Proton starts fleeing from Duke and goes into the time machine, and Duke goes after him. So they go through different time periods and fight across time. Duke ends up winning and making it back to his original timeline.
Okay.
Nice.
Yeah.
Thank God. Back in 1991 or whatever.
97. Yeah.
97.
Distant future.
Phew. Still 2 years for my anniversary, for my millennium party.
Yeah. I could keep planning. So now Duke becomes a celebrated worldwide as the hero of Earth. And it's around this time that Duke is recruited by the secretive Earth Defense Force and starts his nationwide burger chain called Duke Burger.
Great. you get given a job by the UN to like protect Earth from interplanetary threats, and you're like, too busy, gotta open a burger chain.
Yeah. I mean, there was like a McDonald's in Kabul, so like that's kind of a regular thing that the government would invest in, right?
Sometime after defeating Dr. Proton, Duke also began writing his memoir titled Why I'm So Great.
Sounds about right.
And it's a book about all his heroics. So he goes on to a talk show in Neo Los Angeles in the early 90s. I don't know who the talk show would be with, like Regis Philbin or something.
Larry King.
Oprah's been on TV since like the 80s.
He loves Oprah, actually. There's a quote. Oh, okay. Find it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's when he gets the bee gun as one of the optional weapons. It's just he's got two little mini Oprahs just throwing bees at everybody. Just, saying, yeah. You get a bee.
So from the wiki of wikiquote.org/wiki/Duke Nukem, there's only one quote from the original game, and it's, "You're wrong, Proton Breath. I'll be done with you and still have time to watch Oprah." So
good, yeah.
Nice.
He likes it.
I remember Oprah was always ending when I was getting home from elementary school and high school, so I think she's on at like 3.
Oh, so he got Eastern home early.
Time. Yeah, exactly. So he did, like that boss fight has to take place at like 11, and he just took care of it.
Yeah. Dick Kick'em always gets home by 5.
Yeah.
It was a brunch boss fight. You know, right. That's, yeah. Yeah. It's for millennials, basically.
Right. Yeah, so while presenting his book on a talk show in Neo Los Angeles, Duke becomes kidnapped by an alien race known as the Regelitans. And that starts us off for Duke Nukem 2. But I think it'll be a good time to take a little break.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yellow, welcome back. We're on to Duke Nukem 2, the 1990s.
You should have said Duke Tukum. Like Duke Tukum, huh?
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Which could either be like a pun on Duke Nukem 2, or you could picture Peregrine Tuke from the Lord of the Rings trilogy as Duke Nukem.
I was thinking Duke Nukem wearing a knit cap that we here in Canada call a toque.
A toque. Okay, that also works. Yeah. Works on three levels. Should have called it Duke Threecum.
Toque me once, Duke on me.
Stop asking people to Duke on you. Stop asking people to Duke on you on the podcast, please.
I won't.
whatever ad just played. You're welcome. Okay.
Yeah.
You're welcome. Immediately from your product is Jamie asking our listeners to Duke on him.
Duke me twice, Duke on you. So,
what was that?
Oh, yeah. That's
Uno reversed me.
Yeah. So, like any good villain in fiction, the Rigelatin, 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 Rigelatin Emperor.
So, spell it one more time.
R-I-G.
You want to just write it in chat?
R-I-G? No, because you got to do it for the listeners at home.
E. Oh, yeah.
E.
Latin.
Oh. Rige Latin.
Oh, yes.
My first thought. Rigolatin? Yeah.
I'll just call them the Rigs from now on.
Rigola.
I should have been the... We should have had like a little Vanna White sound effect going off in the background.
Yeah. R S T L N E.
Ding 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 ding. Rigelatin.
I'd like to solve, Pat.
Yeah.
I'm here to eat ass and chew bubblegum.
So like any good villain, they capture Duke and they put him down while he's all tied up or whatever in this cell, and they tell him the entire plan that they have before actually doing the plan.
Any good.
Yeah. Now that we finally have you, we saw that you could handle all the technobots on Earth and saw your enormous potential. So we decided we are going to steal your brain.
our plan is a twofold one. First, we shave off the asses of every human being on Earth. Second, we... chew up the supply of the Earth's bubble gum. Then what will you do, Nuke?
Yeah, so they're going to steal his brain to basically mass produce him into their aliens or somehow, or just steal his good brain thoughts and turn it into a weapon.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you could condense Duke Nukem's brain, his genius brain, into like an AI, you could probably just like have a good template for all your killbots.
Right. Yeah.
We'll take your brain and use it to extract all your confidence. Then finally someone will go on a date with me.
So while waiting for his decerebration, which I think is taking out your cerebral stuff.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Duke uses a gadget called an explodomolar to break through the bars. Which
is it like a secret tooth?
Yeah, so he's got the cyanide tooth that the CIA has that he...
What is a grenade?
Yeah, but it's just, yeah, like a... What is it, like a thermite bomb or whatever that could just like burn through a safe? Yeah,
he's got a bunch of them. He's got one, like a little Tabasco sauce just in case his food isn't seasoned enough.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah,
he's got a bubblegum tooth. So he's never had a bubblegum until he is, at which point he has to kick ass.
Right. Yeah. No hard candy for him because it'll yank out his grenade teeth. Yeah. That's why he's a gum guy.
I was wondering, like, does he like pull the tooth out and use it to blow up the bar, or does he just like turn his head sideways and bite the bar and then it explodes and opens up?
That's how I was
picturing
it.
I'd like to think it's the second one.
Okay.
Yeah, I was actually picturing the second one for sure.
His rock solid jaw would obviously absorb the force of the impact, and he would be totally fine despite detonating an explosive inside his own mouth.
Yeah.
He'd probably have like a manly belch afterwards. You know?
Oh, he'd burp out a little black smoke.
Yeah. He's got the OSHA approved sunglasses that are also work glasses too, in case
exactly. Debris and stuff. Yeah, you know what's cool, kids? Being OSHA safe.
I lift my containers slowly and responsibly.
Yeah. Yep. If it's too heavy, I get someone else to help me pick it up.
Lift with your legs.
Just because your boss says to do it doesn't mean it's right. All right, man.
I wear high visibility when I'm biking at night.
Sure. I could destroy all the killbots sent to destroy Earth, but even I wouldn't operate a forklift without a license.
All right, so our man turns his head sideways and chomps his way through the prison bars on an alien ship that he's on. Or he's not on the alien ship yet. He finds a gun.
In the alien clinic where they're going to take his brain out, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Right, okay.
And he finds a gun directly outside the bars, because... Duke Nukem would. Believed it into existence.
We have studied the humans extensively. We know they have no such capability to bite through metal bars. We will just put his belongings just outside his cage.
Yep. So from there on, kind of video games happens. He fights across the surface of Rigel and destroys an energy reactor for one of the planet's cities.
Oh, Rigel. It's Rigel, I think, because that's where the aliens in... It's from Star Trek, I want to say.
Rigelians.
But I know it from The Simpsons. Kang and Kodos are Rigelians. They come from Rigel 7, which I don't know if it's a real planet, but that would make sense. If that's a reference to Star Trek, it makes sense that it would make its way into Duke Nukem as well.
This game is like full of references, so it would make a ton of sense for it to be there. Yeah.
Loreboy's guess, I'm going to say... Yeah. that's my answer. I'm not going to canonize that one, but
Star Trek charts. Rigel 7 was the inhabitant 7th planet of the Rigel system in the Alpha Quadrant.
There you go.
Cool.
It was originally from Star Trek and then eventually The Simpsons.
Cool. Yeah. Okay. Makes sense.
So he blows up a reactor. It pretty much levels the whole city. Then he goes under.
Does he bite through that too? Or
yes. Yeah.
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 That uranium bar that comes off the back of Homer Simpson's back. It was just bit right onto that.
Don't worry, babe. Let me just bite through this thermonuclear device and save the city. He doesn't die, but he does develop mouth cancer. It's
that's why his voice is like that. It's too much.
The laryngectomy?
Not to worry. He had his chemotherapy tooth.
You see this tooth, babe? Hot sauce is my food. This one makes me sick and makes my hair fall out. Don't get your wires crossed.
You gotta stay cool under pressure.
So he goes through this whole underground system, eventually comes back out of the underground system, just seeing like the alien mothership about to take off. He runs and like barely gets onto the back end of it and climbs his way up.
Does he use a grappling hook tooth? Like shoots it out to like wrap around the ramp on the end.
He's just Inspector Gadget, but everything is a tooth instead of a tooth.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. He's just got dentures with like every single one is a different gadget. Exactly.
So we have the first Duke Nukem's childhood lore boys canon, right? Which is that his dad was a maniacal dentist. And yes. You know,
beautiful.
Probably had a moment where Duke was like 12 or 13 and his dad got either arrested or we'll say assassinated by the CIA, maybe, because that's like a nice little ironic twist to it. For being a maniacal dentist. And then Duke Nukem ends up in the foster care system And that's what drives him to a life of military service, right? Okay. That stability that he was missing.
His like dad was the top dentist in Beirut, and anybody getting that amount of power in a foreign country has got to get taken out to the CIA. That's why the CIA took him down.
Exactly.
I like that he's like inhumanly confident, so maybe his dad like drilled a little too deep and hit a nerve that like caused a brain reaction that like wherever your confidence meter is, you know, it just like, like, you know, when people get like head injuries and their personalities completely change.
Sorry, son. I drilled so far into your gums, I hit your frontal cortex. Like,
yeah, it happens. Dude, he's got a what do you call it? A grappling hook in his teeth, man. You got to roll that up somewhere.
That is true. Yeah. That is true.
It's like an empty spot.
Needs a lot of space. Yeah. And now,
an empty
son,
spot where your pussy used to be, son. Yeah, now you're way more confident.
Yeah. And now, son, I'm installing a radio transmitter which will send out a signal of communist propaganda to all the local people. Like, knock on the door all of a sudden. One sec, let me just get that door, then we'll get back to your operation, son.
Imagine shooting a grappling hook if there's no mechanism to come back in. Like, he has to like pull his ear over and over again to get it all the way.
Oh, yeah, like, like a winch.
Yeah. It's not my ear, I got a winch, babe.
Yeah. So he finally makes it to the alien mothership. This is where the final boss is, like, big alien is. So he fights us all the way to the cockpit and destroys the commander, putting an end to their threat. This was a pre-9/11 alien cockpit. So if it was afterwards, maybe he wouldn't have been able to fight his way through and the aliens might have won. But
they'd never let him on a plane with teeth like that. Pre-9/11 cockpit. Yeah, it's just like a curtain. You can just push it out of the way.
It's like one of those sliding like Japanese doors, you know, that's just made of paper.
Jadeeds.
Paper with debris in it from Debris City, I guess, or whatever it is.
Shrapnel City.
Shrapnel City,
Debris City.
The beads are nice because they would function also as like a tiltometer, right? It would show you like the tilt of the airplane.
Yeah, I don't know if that
instrument's called a tiltometer.
They don't need a tiltometer in front of them. They just have a rear view mirror so they can see the door behind them. Yeah.
You'll notice a little bit of turbulence here. Get my co-pilot to keep an eye on the beads.
A tiltometer or tilt meter is a sense of inclinometer designed to measure very small changes from the vertical level.
Oh, cool. That's but a lot of jargon. I love that.
Usually not used in planes, used in like engineering, so like leveling ground and stuff.
Okay.
So that measures vertical levels. At the end of this horizontal level, Duke is now in the cockpit and he has one, and he is in charge of the ship, and he's looking at Earth from space, and he contemplates taking it over as King Duke. He's like, I could be King Duke. He's like, nah, that doesn't sound right. And then he comes back to Earth.
What if he was like the cousin of a king? Then he could be Duke.
Yeah. If he was a big dog, he could be Marmaduke.
Oh man. Then he would have duked you twice. This leads right into the next game as he comes and brings down the ship. Probably one of the greatest of all time Duke Nukem games, and it's Duke Nukem 3D.
Hell yeah, dude.
Before jumping into the lore, like, just have to say this game in 1996 was, I don't know when Doom and Quake came out comparatively, but when this game came out, it was like the best graphics, the best gameplay. Like, Duke Nukem 3D, when it came out, was like the peak of FPS in 1996.
Doom was definitely before that.
Quake was 1993, Quake was 1996.
96, so
at the same time as, the same year as Duke Nukem.
Okay. Yeah. So maybe Duke came out a little bit before or something, because I know Quake is really
Doom was 93, so
yeah,
I don't know when Doom 2 came out.
As someone who beat Quake for the first time, Quake Remastered, recently, that game is full 3D with like models,
right.
So it definitely does look worse than Duke, because Duke is still like good sprites, so it does have a lot more detail,
right.
There's a lot of like weird beige, and people look that make like kind of look like they're made of sandwich meat in Quake. It rules, don't get me wrong, but artistically, I think Duke Nukem holds up way better now.
Okay. That would explain it. It was like the best. Like the engine was created by like some 19-year-old kid they found in New Jersey. Like
beautiful.
Brossard was just like, this kid, there's something about him. Get him in. We'll give him a job. We're gonna make a great
Is
game.
Is that the build engine?
I think it's the build engine. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
They ended up trying to use it for forever, but then like trashing it just because they took so long to make a game that like their engine could just never keep up with the release date. Duke came back to Earth just to be shot out of the sky by a new race of alien invaders. So right as he beat the old aliens, he came home and there's new ones.
The CIA can't handle the aliens for like an afternoon while Duke is in space going through the bead curtain of an alien spaceship. Like, what the fuck?
Apparently there's a lot of extraterrestrial life in their version of the world compared to ours. So what were these aliens after, you might ask?
It was the babes. I know the plot of this one.
You do know the plot of this one. They came to Earth to abduct all the women, of course.
Yeah. I like how like all the developers hit puberty at some time between Duke 2 and Duke 3. Yeah. So it just went like wildly, like horny. Way off the bro scale. It got way too horny like between games.
I mean, I like the idea, and maybe this is Logos canon, that they weren't abducting the women, but just saving them from a world where a man like Duke Nukem is, you know, deified.
Right. Oh, yeah, that's probably true.
It's just like the women were desperate to get out of there, and they were like, finally, the one guy who could stop the aliens is gone. He's in outer space. Let's get all the babes out of here. And Duke Nukem comes down, goes into a blind rage, and just starts killing.
Yeah, well, it's funny you mentioned that all the aliens are wearing white suits of armor as well. So,
they're all white knights. White suit of armor. The odd pig alien will have a fedora on.
You do know about the pig aliens too. These aliens, they transformed the Los Angeles Police Department into an army of mutant pigs to do their bidding.
That didn't take a lot of work.
Pigs. Yeah, exactly.
Cop.
Video games happens, and you just follow the missions laid out by the Earth Defense Forces. There's a lot more here than the previous games, but you eventually defeat the alien invaders and destroy like a huge portion of their forces. I guess the notable ones are Cycloid Emperor. It's a guy with a bunch of eyes, and Alien Queen. It's just an alien lady.
I remember nothing but ladies moaning on a payphone. That's the only thing I remember from Duke Nukem 3D. So
you could, you could do that. I know there was a lot of stuff you could interact with. You could like walk into a bunch of different rooms and like play with a lot of the furniture and stuff that's lying around, and of course see the pasties on a you know PG-13 stripper.
Yeah,
as well.
It was very like immersive for that day and age, like where the only way you can interact with the world is like shooting. To be able to like. I think you'd even go up to a pool table and like knock all the balls away and things like that.
Cool.
Yeah. But what they kind of took that and ran with it in Duke Nukem Forever and just kind of made it take away from the game's plot rather than add to it. But we'll get to that soon. So in the peaceful years after the alien invasion of Earth, Duke enjoyed his hard-won fame to its fullest. He became a successful businessman and a celebrity multimillionaire.
He got it. Now I see where we're getting back to Joe Biden. Okay.
He got his burger chain, which doubles as a dentist office for everybody. So there's just like scalpels and picks built into the burgers so that while you're eating it, it's cleaning your teeth and shredding your gums for you. And he made millions on it. So
can I get a double bacon cheese, but with no floss? Thanks.
And like the condiment dispenser is just Duke Nukem's head, and you have to press different parts of his face and they come out of different teeth. Like that's my relish tooth. That's my mustard tooth. That's my ketchup tooth.
Ketchup tooth, yeah.
Ew.
And then the toothpaste tooth, of course.
Of course, yeah.
A toothpaste tooth would be very handy though, because it's where it's got to be, right? That's the one tooth that's not out of place in there.
You think it's like self-cleaning? He has like a self-cleaning like little car wash going on in there?
Well, I assume he has a toothpaste tooth and a toothbrush tooth. So yeah.
Ah, yeah. So like slide his jaw back and forth to get a thorough clean.
Think in like a self-cleaning oven, it just heats up real a lot. Like what if we got self-cleaning mouths, maybe we could just put ovens in our mouths so we could do all the cooking. You just put a little quail on your tongue and...
That's why you don't have to brush your teeth after you eat the frozen pizza too fast. Because you've burned all the bacteria out of your mouth.
True. That's why I always smoke a menthol cigarette when I'm done eating, just to get all the
really freshens the place up.
So yeah, he becomes.
You guys know a fun fact about menthol cigarettes? They're not more nicotine in them, but menthol is a vasculodilator. So it opens your blood vessels and you actually get more nicotine because your blood takes in more per puff because of the menthol.
Huh. Oh, you go. Cool. For all the stoners out there, you should eat some Vicks Vapor Rub before taking those dank hits.
The Lore Voice does not condone the eating of Vicks Vapor Rub. I'm pretty sure it's just petroleum jelly and I'm pretty sure you'd be fine, but I'm not going to say it on air.
Petroleum jelly and eucalyptus, frankly, if like I've smeared it all over my face and like it used to decongest me as a child, like, you know, you've got it on your lip to like kind of clear yourself out. If you can put it that close to a child's mouth before bed, there's no way it's poisonous, but don't eat it.
I still have like a weird thing about my ears. And at one point, like whenever I had an ear infection, my stepmom put Vicks Vapor Rub in my ear. She said, this is like going to fix it. And all it did was clog my ear.
Wildly wrong.
It clogged That's my poor. Ear, so I couldn't hear out of it. And she was just like, like you're just being a pussy, basically. And I'm like, no, I can't hear out of my ear.
And then she said, I'm taking your sisters to the ball and you have to scrub on my floor.
I still have a weird thing about my ears too. So don't mess with me.
Yeah, Jamie's waiting for his glass Q-tip that a Prince Charming will bring and slot perfectly into his ear.
That's just right. Yep.
I guess also the Lore Boys don't condone putting Q-tips in your ears because I think that's a thing that you're not supposed to do.
I think you're not supposed to do that. I do use them after I shower, though.
I think that the secret is like you got to do like a twisting movement, like pulling out, and don't just like jam in the whole way. Like, yeah. I think there's a good way and a bad way. And no one really tells you how to use these things.
There is, like, what's with algebra? Just show me how to use a Q-tip.
I've been to an ear doctor in the last year, and he was like, yeah, don't do it. So I'm gonna go with him, not you guys. But no offense.
We had different, like, symptoms. I've used them my whole life, and I've, like, never had, like, an issue. You had issues. Maybe he's like, all the people who have issues, they don't know how to use them. So this guy's an idiot. He shouldn't use them, you know?
Yeah, maybe. Like, he did keep Q-tip continuously call me an idiot. He kept talking about what a fucking dummy I was when I was sitting in the chair, but not like to my face, but it was like, hey doc, I got a blocked ear. And I think he thought when he walked to my right side, I couldn't hear him because my ear was blocked.
Right.
That makes sense.
But I was faking symptoms to try and get on disability, of course.
Impacted ear disability.
Yeah. Get a scribbled in crayon note from my employer. Ethan can't come to work today because he has too much wax in his ears.
Hey, that'd be an OSHA violation. You need to be able to hear clearly so you don't get hit by a forklift, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
that's true.
Well, all these motherfuckers driving around with no license.
Yeah.
our boy, he's a celebrity multimillionaire. He is now living in a penthouse of the Lady Killer Casino that he owns in Las Vegas, Nevada. And he continues to operate his booming restaurant chain.
Duke Burger.
Yeah, Duke Burger, man.
Now, Duke Burger.
Duke Nukem Forever happens in this time. But we're not going to cover the plot. It's much too long and the game's much too bad. But we're still going to talk a little bit about how we got there. We're running a little bit long, but it's okay. With the president... Oh, the president actually dies in Duke Nukem Forever because he's an asshole and like conspires with aliens and lets them come in for some personal gain.
Okay. Yeah.
So
fictionalized that a politician would betray the people that they work for personal gain, but sure.
Never. So with the president dead, Duke announced his candidacy for the 69th president of the United States.
Hell yeah.
So there must have been a lot of time lost whenever he went up to space and came back. Like maybe there was some like relativity going on there because we're at what, 46?
Yeah.
Yeah, 46 right now at time of recording.
Yeah, so they got all the way to 69. Or maybe there's a huge turnover, a lot of alien invasions. People just keep having to step it down.
Yeah, that's true. I would love to see the face on the person that wrote that. It's just like, man, 69th president. And then, like, everybody in the room is just like, yeah, it's great, man. Okay. Yeah, yeah. You know, the game's been in development for, like, 19 years, and they're just all exhausted.
All exhausted, chained to their desks.
Yeah, at Gearbox in Texas.
Yeah. I'll talk a little bit about the Duke Nukem Forever and how it, like, was supposed to come out but didn't come out. Just because if you look up Duke Nukem to this day, its legacy really is the failure of Duke Nukem Forever. So it wouldn't be a full episode if we didn't at least touch on it. So it took 15 years from 1996 to 2011 for them to create this game. George Brossard was the creative director. And he's still riding the high of Duke Nukem 3D. It's best in its class. They're like, we can be the best game creators, so let's be the best ones. So they kept adding things into the game, kind of like I mentioned before. They had a pool table in the old one, so they're like, let's put a fully functioning pool table in the new one. Let's put beads in the cockpit that move exactly when you go through them. Like, like they just keep adding these silly gimmicks that weren't really essential for what made Duke Nukem fun. And
yeah, like I've played forever, and there's like a whiteboard with a marker that you can just draw on for some reason. And in something like Half-Life Alyx, where you have like almost one-to-one VR hand control, it's cool. But like when you're trying to like draw a cock with an Xbox 360 controller, like why is this here?
Yeah. They're like struggling.
I mean, like I've drawn cocks with my Xbox 360 controller before, but it's in online multiplayer lobbies where other people can appreciate the girthiness.
Right.
Not in a single player experience. Like,
with the bullet decals in Halo, or
what am
like,
I drawing? Dicks for myself? Like, come on.
That was something in the 15-year time frame too, where they're like, "Oh, people are doing multiplayer now. We better put multiplayer into it." That was another thing that like set them back, and they.
I mean, yeah. So like those mid-aughts was like peak. Like first-person shooter multiplayer, right? Like that was like the advent of COD, of Halo, of like all those games. So like I kind of get that, which I am really appreciative now that like there's a lot of single-player focus coming kind of back into the industry. Because just because it's the kind of games that I enjoy, and I loved like Halo multiplayer online whenever I was younger, but now I'm just like, I don't have the time to stay competitive at any video game. It's like,
no.
I'm like, I look at Age of Empires 4. I'm like, man, I really want to pick that up, but I just want to do the campaign. I never want to play an online match in my life. Like,
yeah, something they struggled with was, like you said, kind of like how fast games are progressing in like 1996 to all the way through the mid-aughts. Because, like when they announced the game, people were still using Windows 95 and the Xbox hadn't been created yet or released yet. Like, that's when they announced the game, and when the game came out, it was 2011. Like, just
Christ.
So much happened in that time.
Three Halos came out.
Yeah,
and I think Reach 2 probably. Yeah. I don't know when Reach came out, but it's just like, they're trying to like perfect the pool table in Duke Nukem just in case somebody wants to touch it at some point. Meanwhile, Halo has released three games. They're just
four
like,
games. Reach was released in 2010. So.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's like, oh, gee, fuck.
Every time they would like start to get ahead and be like more attractive than like the game that's right next to them, they would get bogged down in all these new systems that Brossard wants to add into it. It's like, well, the pool table's not right, the beads aren't right, the whatever's not right. So then by the time they got those things set up, they're no longer graphically like on par with the person next to them, just because things are evolving so fast, right? Like you can't stop and make like a million different things into your game. You need to just choose a date and release it. Or else you're just going to fall behind. So they had to scrap the entire game and rebuild it on a new engine like three times just because they kept their engines just became out of date over and over again.
Yeah.
One point they like actually switched to the
Skyrim released with like basically the Oblivion engine. Again, was just like, yeah, it's fine.
It released with the Morrowind engine.
Morrowind engine, yeah, exactly. it's fine. Yeah.
I think the creation engine still is the like balsa wood stilts that are like barely holding up Fallout 76 right now.
Yeah. And I mean, that's my theory on why 6 is being delayed forever is because they're actually like starting from scratch with an engine or something. And like they were able to put out those other massive games faster because they relied on older parts, which with a new engine they just wouldn't necessarily be able to do, but we'll have to wait and see.
At one point they actually kind of got close to like what would be good. I'm not sure exactly which year, but this is like before 2010 for sure, because that's when Randy Pitchford came on the scene. This is back when Brossard's still in charge. And at one point, they switched the Unreal Engine and did a promo at E3, and everyone's like, hey, Duke Nukem Forever might actually be good. This looks good right now. And this should have been the time where they just stopped adding new balls on the pool table and all these other dumb gimmicks and just polish the game and release it. Because
This is when Ron Howard stops the scene and it says, it wasn't good.
Yeah.
Duke Nukem's ready to come out. It wasn't.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, the thing is, it might have been ready to come out, but Brossard just like kept... They have all this money because they have the shareware thing. They leased out like their engine to certain games and stuff. So every time a game is being sold, they're getting like a portion of that. So they have this income. Take-Two is like their publisher. But since they're not giving them much money, they can kind of just tell them, hey, fuck off. We'll get it out when we get it out.
Yeah.
So Brossard had an awful habit of seeing mechanics in other games and then like adding them to Duke Nukem Forever. So the staff had like a running joke where they'd hide new releases from him because they wanted just to be able to finish a fucking game. Like, some of them have started and finished their career and like never released a game. Yeah.
Saints Row 3 lets you beat a guy to death with a giant dildo. I want it in my game, god damn it.
It's like the office staff had like, they had a plant within like the janitorial staff where it's just like, okay, so like, every single day, you need to replace Brossard's calendar with an identical calendar that has the exact same amount of days crossed off. He cannot know that it is not 1999 anymore. It's like 2008. He's just like, for the love of God.
If he goes anywhere near a computer, you are contractually obligated to dump your mop bucket onto that computer.
Okay. Yeah. You have to get down Mr. President him at any turn. He's just like, don't tell him what a cell phone is.
Some of the things are really cool, like trying to add more narrative. Like Half-Life came out in this time. I think both Half-Lives came out in that time.
Both did, yeah. And so did Episodes 1 and 2. Episode 2 came out in 2007.
Yeah. So, like, sometimes he would grab cool things from other games that actually would make sense to add to his game. But, like, at a certain point, you saw a game with a snow level, and he's like, we need a snow level. Even though there's, like, nothing in the story that would bring him to, like, a place with snow. Like, no. Let's restart this whole level. We need snow because other people
have
snow.
Mean, Mr. Brossard might have had something here though, because I hate it when you're playing a video game and it's like, oh, no snow level. Like, I don't even want to play it anymore. If I get halfway through and they're like, I think it's got to be in the first half, I gotta see snow or else I'm out.
The best
I'm
part about an ice level is when it fucks up your movement, right? Like, where you retain momentum. I love that shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Somewhere about like 12 years in, they kind of just had to pull the plug on it. They said, you know what, we're not going to be able to release a game. Take-Two starts to sue them for not releasing. I think Randy Pitchford comes on the team around now and just says like, okay, what do we got? We'll put it out. We'll figure it out.
I like the fact that some publisher, I think 2K is based out of Europe or whatever, was just like, no,
you owe us the game. Yeah. With the 69th president in it.
Yeah, I'm kind of doing this off memory right now, so the it might be switched around a bit, but Take-Two definitely sued Brossard and Miller for not releasing the game. They lost a bunch of staff like around this time too, before they,
from old age.
Yeah, well, like people who've been working for 10 years and don't have a single game on their CV, you know. It's like,
yeah.
Plus they were paying less too because they're still stuck in the 90s. They had 18 people working on the game when like other AAA companies have like 50 to 100, right? It's like,
Come on, what does a quarter pounder cost? 25 cents? What do you need a raise for?
He's defrosted.
Yeah, we got Duke burgers in the freezer if you gotta eat, okay?
Yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah. So yeah, Randy Pitchford just comes around and finally helps them release what they had. According to people on the team, the game felt a lot more like a bunch of like separated tech demos rather than a fluid game. It's like, this is the whiteboard place. This is the pool table place.
I've played about half of it. I got to like the dune buggy level or whatever. And it is very much like the first level is kind of a regular shooter where he's like fucking the Olsen twins or something.
Yeah.
All the
references are like from the mid 90s too, for some reason.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Nothing even made sense to me. And I had been born like kind of, or I was a child during the time it was written.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, you get, like, there's the shrink ray level, which admittedly is creative because there's a lot of, like, puzzles on shelves and shit like that.
This is the Tony Hawk's Pro Skater level where you have to do a 540 McTwist over a helicopter.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they do actually release it. It's not received well. You can play, like, Duke Nukem 3D for, like, $2 on Steam and Duke Nukem Forever for $4 on Steam if you want to see how bad it is. But through all those years and all the turnover in the staff and the change in leadership, they just kind of lost what Duke Nukem was.
Yeah.
He used to be kind of tongue-in-cheek, making fun of, like, American action heroes, and then he just became, like, a more serious version. He went from being, like, a funny Arnold movie to Steven Seagal movie somehow, you know?
Just mean-spirited and old. Is...
Yeah.
Yeah. So just to show you, I pulled three quotes just to finish off the episode, and three are from Duke Nukem 3D, and three of them are from Forever. And you can see how in 3D there's kind of like a second meaning or a reference, or it's kind of like a little bit funny. And in Forever, it's just like vulgar for the vulgar's sake.
Yeah,
This would have been a great Lore Boys mailbag game where you did three Forever quotes, three Duke Nukem 3D quotes, and then three Lore Boys quotes, and see which is the most sexist.
What I was going to do is I was going to pull action movie quotes from like Arnold and like Jean-Claude Van Damme, and then like say, okay, is it Duke Nukem, Arnold, or Van Damme, or something like that? It turned out just comparing them to themselves is enough to show you how bad the game kind of got. So, like, one is he says in 3D, that's one doomed space marine, because there's a space marine from Doom corpse in the game. So he makes like a little reference and a jab at his friends.
At his competition. Yeah.
You're an inspiration for birth control. That's a cool one.
That's a cool one.
Yeah. And this is when he goes to like a smashed up pharmacy or something and sees, you know, a pregnancy test on the ground.
Yeah. And the reference to They Live that Peter mentioned, it's time to kick ass and chew bubble gum, and I'm all out of gum. And that's like a very iconic one.
That line is also not correct in Duke Nukem, because I've seen the clip and it's just like it's Rowdy Roddy Piper or some shit in a bank with the magic sunglasses on. He's like, I am here to chew gum and kick ass, and I'm all out of bubble gum, is like the actual line. But the Duke Nukem one is so much better.
Yeah. So now here's some from the newer version where they kind of missed the mark, and it just says, my balls, your face. Cool. Nice.
Cool, man.
I mean, gamers, get out your notebooks. Here's some classic pickup lines for you.
Fire fans. this is like kind of, I guess, because they're four Halo games deep at this point, right?
Yep.
So,
he should have said, if he wanted to live up to the legacy of Duke Nukem 3D, he should have said, my balls, your face, Master Chief.
Exactly.
They could have put a corpse of Master Chief in the game. Yeah.
Maybe you can find the reference for this next one, because I couldn't. Quit bleeding, pussy.
This is the part where you fall down and bleed to death.
I mean,
it's not
Predator,
a reference.
Maybe. But I know there's another line. Do you have one about power armor?
I can find it. I have.
No, because I know it. Because I know it's just like, hey, Duke. Or Mr. President, whatever the fuck he is now. It's just like, we've got your power armor here, and it is just like dollar store brand Master Chief armor. He's like, power armor is for pussies. And it's just like, cool, man.
Yeah,
like 5 years. It's just 10 years after the first game came out.
Video games is for pussies.
Yeah.
What?
This is my favorite one. Not my favorite one, actually, but I couldn't believe it existed. When I was looking through, it really popped out to me. So this is while slapping alien breasts. He says, got milk.
Okay.
Right. And I looked it up, and there's just some alien titties on the wall. And when you slap them, milk comes out of them.
Alien titties like mounted like in a hunter's cabin on the wall.
It looks like,
no,
it looks like a growth on the wall. It's like a tri-titty, like three titties just on a wall.
Yeah, the alien monster boss, like, the level after this one, I think, is the dune buggy level. The boss in this level is, like, a gigantic alien monster that does just have three huge tits on it.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Also, so, I think Get Milk is another 90s reference, right?
When it is, yeah.
Like, this came out in 2011. Like, it's yeah, I guess, yeah, you're right, because they all are 90s. It's, I don't know, they just missed the mark. The other one was, like, fun and more in the time, and this time, like, all the quotes just felt, like, so serious and not cool, and quit bleeding pussy.
1993. That would have been a dated reference for the first Duke Nukem.
Right.
Was Got Milk.
Or 1991. Like, it would have been, it came out, Got Milk
sorry.
Came out
Duke,
with the second
Duke Nukem
one.
3D, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Would have been dated for 3D.
Yeah. Anyways, those are some things. If you guys want to play the game, probably the best one, if you just want to, like, try out the boomer shooter, is Duke Nukem 3D. You can get it super cheap on Steam. Forever is probably worth skipping, unless you want to enjoy it in the way that you would enjoy an awful movie or something like that.
Yeah, I was gonna say, if it's actually $5, it might be worth struggling through in the same way you watch, like, The Room or Birdemic or something like that.
Right, yeah.
There's something about watching corny movies that I so often don't feel the same way. Like, it's the story, right? It's like the punched up characters and, like, caricatures of characters. Whereas, like, janky game mechanics and, you know, frustrating boss fights is not something that I feel like I would get the same enjoyment out of. But if you do, then hey, more power to you.
Yeah, like, struggling through shitty controls just to get to the next Got Milk reference is probably not as much fun as having some drinks with the lads and watching The Room.
Make fun of Paris Hilton in 2011 or whatever. Like, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that was Duke Nukem. We're starting to polish up all the boomer shooters. I think if we can hit Quake, we can finally put this to rest.
And Wolfenstein.
Wolfenstein, dude.
Wolfenstein, that's right. Yeah.
The final feathers now in our bristling bard's cap at this point.
Mm-hmm. Our Yankee Doodle cap.
Yeah.
Because he stuck a feather in his hat.
Yeah, we called it macaroni or something.
Right. So I guess, Ethan, if you want to take us home.
Sure. Yeah. If you guys like the show, make sure to let us know by leaving us a review. It helps the show a whole bunch, and you can do it wherever you can find a place to review us. Just shout it into ether if that's all you got. Stick your face into a pillow and yell about how good the Lore Boys is.
Teenage girls in 90s movies did that, you know.
Yeah.
Go upstairs, yell about the Lore Boys.
iTunes is better, but if that's all you got, that's all you got. I'm not going to poo-poo you. If you want to get in touch with us, click on the link to Discord in the description of this episode, which should be showing up on your app. If it's not, you can head to loreboys.com/about. There's a link to our Discord there. Hop on in. You can request more boomer shooters. You want to hear Jamie talk about Bill Blazkowicz in Wolfenstein? Then you can request it there. We have a channel specifically for it. If you guys want to support the show financially, of course, we do have Patreon, patreon.com/theloreboys, where you can support the show with a little bit of scratch, a little bit of cash, and we will give you some rewards for that support.
Thank you. Newest patron at time of recording, Eric with a K. God bless you.
Yeah. Eric with a K, the only of our fans who I've met in person, I think.
Yes.
Probably.
Yeah. A cornerstone of the community, I might add.
He's great. So at time of recording, that was at time of release, probably wasn't the most recent. This might get released out of order too, so who knows, but know that we did notice. We got rewards like episode scripts, like we'll give more weight to your guys' suggestions. Every once in a very, very blue moon, we've done polls on episode topics that we've wanted to do and let you guys decide which ones we actually will talk about. And all that can be found in the Discord. So head on over to the Discord and come talk to us there.
You could request the Olsen twins.
Yeah, you can request the Olsen twins. And of course, for anybody who doesn't trust Big Patreon, we do have Lore Boys Prime, where we are preparing the presidential campaign for the 420th president of America. Now, we all plan on running, so we're going to need a lot of campaign aides, different advisors, different things. What we'll need the most, though, is, of course, somebody to come up with some sort of wormhole device that will either let us travel into the future so that we can actually be around for the 420th election of the president of the United States of America. And we will, or alternatively, you could have every president, you could develop some sort of device that would let every president age faster, supernaturally fast. So their 4 years perceived would happen much quicker, maybe in like a year or something. And then we just get through presidents much quicker. Right.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah,
if, I don't know if that's just, maybe it's just meth, and like, maybe we'll just give the presidents meth and then they'll be up all night and they'll get more done in the time, like four times as fast kind of thing. And then they'll have one big crash after their term. Right.
I vote for a wormhole. Cause I think like saying anything to harm a president is a felony somewhere. So I'm going to just say wormhole. Let's go for wormhole on this one.
I'm pretty sure the First Amendment in the United States of America disproves that if it's not a credible threat. So okay. Not that we're American anyway, but we'll work on, I mean, that's the least of our legal troubles at this point, as James kind of alluded to. So we'll worry about that little detail. You worry about how to get us to the 420th election of the United that's States right. of America.
We can cover all the parties too. I'm just thinking about it. Like Pete's got the CCP. We could do Democrat, Republican. And we'll just cover all our bases. So one of us is going to win.
Yeah. I'll be the donkey because I got the biggest ass. I got the biggest donk, if you know what I mean.
I'll be the other one.
And the other one's an elephant. I don't know which is which, though. I think the donkey's a Democrat.
No, donkey's Republican. Can. I don't know. Do you have to know that? Is that going to be on the test for president of the United States of America?
All right.
Oh, gosh. I think that one got through. Lore boys.
Lore boys.
Out. My name's James, and before the sound check, we were talking about serious stuff, so I'm going to go real silly. Here's an impression of a cartoon character. Hey, Scooby-Dooby-Doo, what's up, Badoo? Your turn.
Okay, my name is Peter, and if I wanted to, we were talking about some serious stuff earlier, because I had a week, but I'm just trying to think of, like, if I wanted to transplant one Hanna-Barbera character into a different Hanna-Barbera cartoon, which I guess you did the Yogi Bear and Scooby crossover.
I heard Fred Flintstone in there. I definitely heard Fred Flintstone in there.
I guess like but, Yabba Dabba Doo and Scooby Dooby Doo.
Yeah, maybe that's what I'm hearing.
Yeah. God, I wish I could remember what...
A third Hanna-Barbera character?
Yeah, George, I'm trying to like, remember Jetsons? Like George Jetson doesn't have a catchphrase.
He's going
to
be born this year, 2022.
He says, yeah. I gotta get back to work at the Sprocket Factory.
Yeah, what's his boss's name? The robot's Rosie.
Yeah, his wife is Jane. Jane?
His wife.
Jane.
His boy, Elroy.
Yeah. Elroy. Judy's his daughter.
I wouldn't have got that. I want to say, no, George is his name.
George.
God, it's going to bug me.
Mr. Sprockets.
Pink Panther's one.
Does he talk?
The Pink Panther doesn't speak, but I think that's true. Like a silent cartoon. Clouseau doesn't speak in that either.
Pink Panther was played by Charlie Chaplin, confirmed.
Yep. Yeah. Silent film actor automatically means that they are also mute. They cannot speak.
George Jetson's boss is Cosmo Spacely, Mr. Spacely.
That's a great name. Because I know in Harvey Birdman, he's like, "Hello, ancient ape man. We have come from the distant future of 2002. And then like Harvey looks at a calendar and it says 2006. He's like, "Alrighty."
Ethan, do you have an impression to finish us off here?
Hey, Lois, it's me, Peter. Oh,
that was very good.
That was very good, yeah.
Okay. This is one of the longer sound checks, but I think I'll include it in the end. There's some.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.